Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
On today's show, we check in with the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System and speak to a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, almost 30 people a day are killed in drunk driving crashes. That's one person every 50 minutes. The Minnesota National Guard relies on the health and fitness of its soldiers and airmen to achieve success. That's why it is important to have a plan in place if you decide to drink alcohol. Rideshare apps like Uber and Lyft are an efficient and affordable way to avoid having to drive while impaired. If that doesn't work for you, be sure to have a sober driver on call to take you home. And if all else fails, be prepared to sleep on a couch or floor. That's a better alternative than spending the night in jail. If you have to ask yourself if you're okay to drive, you already know the answer. Please don't drink and drive.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. For more than a decade, the month of April has been designated as Limb Loss and Limb Difference Awareness Month. Its purpose is to raise awareness of limb loss prevention and recognize people living with limb loss or limb difference. More than 2.7 million people live with limb loss in the United States, and 28 million Americans are at risk of amputation. That includes 1.8 million veterans within the VA healthcare network. In the studio from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System is the Medical Director of the Regional Amputation Center, Dr. Molly Matsumoto. We also have Sean McLaughlin, who is a physical therapist and the Amputation Rehabilitation Coordinator for the Minneapolis VA Regional Amputation Center. Dr. Sean, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us, Doug.
That's a mouthful. I really didn't have any idea that there was a designated month for limb loss awareness, and of course, as I read, for over a decade. That is interesting to me.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Limb Loss Awareness Month is to celebrate and recognize the resilience of those living with limb loss, and also to raise awareness about limb loss prevention. As we know that, you know, diabetes and vascular disease are very common and are a high risk for create a high risk for limb loss.
Yeah. And so now, Doctor, how long have you been at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system?
Going on 8 years now.
And Sean, how long have you been there?
17 and a half years.
17 and a half years. Okay. And for your 17 and a half, were they all in the amputation center, or what? Where'd you start at?
Yeah, I started my first 16 years working on our outpatient TBI polytrauma side of things, and then almost 2 years ago, I decided to change it and come over to the amputation world.
And doctor, you must be excited to have her on board with all of that number of years' experience with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
Absolutely. It was great to have Sean join our team. She has, you know, a tremendous wealth of experience working in rehab and working at the Minneapolis VA.
Well, thank you for your service to our veterans. We do appreciate that. We talk about this all the time on this show. Our founding host is a regular customer out at the Minneapolis VA. I was telling you all before the show that I'll be heading out on Monday. We always receive great care, and so we just appreciate what you all do for our Minnesota veterans and veterans across the region that might come here for different services. So let's talk about that. Doctor, the Regional Amputation Center at Minneapolis, one of a few. Maybe you can just tell us a little bit about the center, and we're one of seven, is that right?
Yeah, there are seven regional amputation centers across the U.S. Minneapolis is the center the hub for amputation care for the Midwest region. And that just means that, you know, we have a larger team, more disciplines represented on our team, and provide more services than are available at some smaller facilities.
Now, this might seem like a crazy question, but when we talk about amputation, the care that you provide out at the Minneapolis VA, does there any type of a restriction? Does it matter? Like if it's something that is going to need to be amputated or whatever, or some type of a limb loss, is there anything you can't care for, or you cover everything?
Yeah, we see all types of limb loss, whether that's upper extremity, lower extremity, major, which would be above the wrist in the upper extremity or above the ankle in the lower extremity. But also we see people who have finger amputations, partial hand amputations.
Is there one in particular that you see more common?
Well, lower extremity amputation is much more common than upper extremity amputation, just because most lower extremity amputations are related to vascular disease and diabetes, which are increasing, unfortunately.
And Sean, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight, too, that you don't have to be service-connected to come to our clinic. We see non-service-connected and service-connected individuals with limb loss and amputations. So it's something that's very unique to the VA system.
Well, I was going to ask that. That must be unique because generally we talk about the VA healthcare system, right? You need to have some type of a service connection. There are some instances where you don't. Like, for example, when they talk about receiving care for suicide ideation, right? Go and get the care you need, even if you're not service connected, if you weren't eligible because of a dishonorable discharge, you go get that care taken care of. So how does that work with a quote-unquote civilian coming to work with you all knowing that they're not a veteran?
Yes.
So you said that they can come out there.
So they have to be a veteran.
Okay. All right.
Not service connected. That's the
key. All right. Okay. So my brain was working too fast. And all right. So not, they don't have to be service connected, but they can still get care. But I would assume then there's got to still be some type of an insurance piece that happens so that the care is paid for.
Yeah. So as Sean was saying, if you're a veteran with limb loss, whether or not that limb loss is service connected, you have benefits available that will cover your prosthetic care.
Okay. And obviously individual cases are, you know, examined properly. I know I've gotten care before where my insurance has gotten billed, maybe because it was something that wasn't service connected. But we're not here to talk about the ins and outs of insurance and all that stuff. We want to understand about limb loss, bring awareness to it, because I guess maybe it's a lot more common than one would think.
Yeah, as you mentioned,
No, that's fine, because we put you on the spot now, right? And we might not know the exact numbers, but you deal with a lot of different people, and I just kind of feel like limb loss is, you don't see it every single day, and it's almost kind of like when you do, you look at it, it's like a surprise, right? When you see someone that maybe they haven't had a prosthetic already, and you know, you see this empty sleeve hanging there or something like that. You take care of our veterans in a great way. You must stay pretty busy, though.
Yeah, sorry about that. So there's over 2 million Americans who are living with limb loss, and that number is expected to double by 2050. So that increase is largely driven by the increasing number of amputations related to diabetes and vascular disease.
Yeah, and you mentioned the diabetes before, which then is generally your lower extremities.
Yes.
And is it really as simple as, I shouldn't say simple, but it just starts with the toes, and then eventually you're going more? I mean, I'm assuming you're always trying to do less than you have to as you provide the care.
Yeah. So we work with a great team of providers working on, you know, it's preventing amputation, which includes podiatry, wound care, vascular surgery, orthopedics. So it usually starts with pain in the foot or wound on the foot. And then when that happens, the patient is evaluated that team works as hard as possible, you know, to prevent amputation, or if an amputation is needed, to discuss what level will best serve the veteran.
Other than the case of an injury, doctor, do you find that maybe some of this could be avoided if someone would have come in to see you a heck of a lot sooner than keep putting it off like most of the stubborn veterans do?
Yeah, like I said, you know, we work really hard on prevention of amputation. We want to be doing foot checks on patients with diabetes who don't have good sensation in their foot, or patients with vascular disease who don't have good blood flow into their feet on a yearly basis. The VA has other programs. You know, we have something called the podometric mat now that we can offer to those veterans who are at high risk, where it's a mat that they can stand on for, I think it's even less than a minute every day or at least several times a week, and it's detecting any temperature changes in the foot that could be the sign of an early wound. So, you know, we know what an impact, foot wounds, amputation have on someone's life, and we want to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think right now would be a good time to take a break. I want to talk about some of the other resources that you might be able to provide or other clinical opportunities available to our veterans. We'll continue talking about limb loss awareness with our guests from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the studio with me, I have Dr. Molly Matsumoto and Sean McLaughlin from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. We're talking about limb loss and limb difference awareness month and the care that is provided out at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And Sean, I want to start with you. And, you know, we hear about amputees, and we already know that the Minneapolis VA healthcare system provides great service to our Minnesota veterans, our veterans in general. Maybe you can talk about some of the resources that might be available for our veterans who have limb loss.
Yeah, one of the best ways I think to do this is highlight one of our veterans that we've actually seen in clinic. So when we first met him, he came into clinic. He was using his private insurance, working with an outside community prosthetist. And when we saw him, poorly fitting prosthesis, and right away when our team said, you know what, we can get you that, he had told our team that it was the happiest day in his life besides his children being born, which that says a lot to the team and how excited he was. And during that assessment, you know, he had his right below knee amputation. We're like, hey, we can send you to the driver's rehab program, which is a very unique service in the VA, where they were able to trial hand controls or even a left foot accelerator to see what would be the best thing for him. And then with that, he was able to utilize some grants because he was service connected to get the equipment provided to him to be able to, for him to lead, you know, a very successful life driving. We also had noticed, you know, that he was having some issues with his living environment and house, and sent him to occupational therapy to have a home assessment completed, where they were able to do a grant called a HISA grant, where some small modifications were able to be completed in order to make sure that he was safe in his living environment as well. So it was a great opportunity for us to see how we were able to get him what he needed and support him, but also making ourselves feel really proud of the work that we were doing for the veteran.
I would imagine it. I mean, and it just speaks to that next level of care or expertise, right? I think we can agree that there's no reason why someone should have been fitted with some prosthetic and it doesn't fit properly or do what it's designed to do. And so for you all to not only make the adjustment necessary, but then open up other opportunities to our veterans, I mean, that is something that, like you said, very, very proud of that.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, again, another reason why we want to make sure our veterans know that they should go and at least have the consult, right? See a primary care. You never know what kinds of opportunities or programs might exist to help our veterans with the things that they're dealing with in their normal life. So let's come back to you. Yeah, doctor, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to follow up on that. You know, it is our goal in our amputation clinic to see every veteran with limb loss. So we definitely would encourage anyone listening to this program who's living with limb loss who hasn't been seen in our amputation clinic to reach out and get a referral. And to the point earlier about the prosthetic care, as we mentioned, is covered through the VA without a copay, whether you're service connected or not service connected. So that is one benefit to using your VA benefits for your prosthetic care.
I don't want to say fix, but can you outfit somebody, if that's the right terminology, with any type of prosthetic that's needed? I mean, like if I lost my index finger, is that something that can be done? Or is there just certain things that you're not really able to do with a prosthetic?
Yeah. So like I mentioned, we do see some patients who have partial finger amputations. I would say in general, these patients are very independent in most of their daily activities, mm-hmm, without the use of a prosthesis. But in general, they're just having like one goal. that was really important to them before they lost their finger, that they are having trouble doing, and that's where we can come in and try to help. Like, for instance, for one veteran, it was playing the guitar.
Sure.
And there are these prostheses called driver prostheses that you can use for partial finger amputations. In his case, that prosthesis wasn't successful for his goal of playing the guitar, but then we were able to send him to meet with our recreation therapist, and we also have a music therapist, and they were able to look at some adaptive equipment for him to help him be able to get back to that.
And we've talked to the folks that do the adaptive care here on the show, and it's amazing what can be done. And we're going to talk about the wheelchair games again. And we talked about some of the adaptive equipment provided for some of the athletes participating in that. But before we go into that topic, Doctor, so Sean gave just a great story of, you know, a person that, you know, came in and they were able to do this proper fitting and a tie or open up other resources, something very, very proud as an organization to be able to do. But are there other things that you just have, you know, just a lot of pride in that you've been able to accomplish as, you know, an organization or maybe even you personally?
Yeah, you know, I'm very proud of our team. As I mentioned, you know, we have a very robust and diverse team with rehab physicians, prosthetists, physical therapists, occupational therapists, social workers, rehab psychologists, recreational therapists, to really try to meet the veterans' needs in terms of what are they looking to return to after their amputation, what are the barriers that they're having. And we wouldn't be able to provide the care we do without this team, you know, who are experts in their field, who are so dedicated and committed to caring for veterans. And we also have a lot of great partnerships with, you know, a research team. And I think one example of this would be, you know, we have a patient who, you know, we saw from the time of her amputation, where we meet oftentimes if their amputation is at the VA, we'll meet these patients in the hospital. And a lot of times they say to me, like, oh, I've met so many people, I don't remember you. And I can say to them, well, you know, I'm going to be here through the rest of your journey through this amputation and healing and the start of your rehab, you know, fitting you with a prosthesis, getting up and walking again, honestly, for the rest of their lives, because we do provide lifelong follow-up for veterans with limb loss. So, and then this patient, one of the issues that she was having is she wanted to wear a lot of different shoes. You know, she wanted to wear high heels or sparkly boots or winter boots, and that can be challenging to do with a prosthesis. And our research team recognized this challenge, and they developed a system where you can 3D print prosthetic feet that can fit into shoes with different heel heights and then attach those shoes to the prosthesis. So she was working with their team on that. She's also, I know we're going to talk about the wheelchair games later, she was working with our recreation therapy team on, you know, equipment and for in wheelchairs to do sports with. And then she worked with us for her prosthesis. And then because she was so active, we were also able to get her a prosthesis, you know, for higher activity needs, like hiking or jogging. And that's another important point is that at the VA, we are able to provide secondary prostheses. So if a veteran, you know, has one prosthesis and it works for their daily activities, but then they want to do something else, like, you know, get in the water, swimming, running, and the prosthesis isn't working for them, we can provide a secondary prosthesis to try to help meet those goals. And that also is pretty unique to the VA.
So we're going to have about a minute and a half, but I have one quick question. Mm-hmm. Is there generally a waiting time? I mean, I know healing depends, but you know, you have to have those conversations with, you know, that person if they're being having a limb amputated. Hey, look, at understand a realistic timeline before you might be able to have a prosthetic that we can fit for you is X number of months?
Yeah, you know, we definitely have that conversation. I would say if the amputation is, you know, related to diabetes or vascular disease, the healing time can be a little longer.
Yeah.
I'll generally estimate, you know, 2 or 3 months unless there are some complications. if it's a traumatic amputation, it might be
a little bit longer.
Quicker, like I would say 1 to 2 months.
Okay. And so, Sean, just real quick,
yeah,
we gotta put the plug in. National Veteran Wheelchair Games are coming up. You're involved, right?
Yes, our team is highly involved, whether we're volunteering or sending several of our veterans with limb loss to participate in the wheelchair games. There's still time to volunteer.
Good.
So it's July 15th through the 22nd. And if you are interested in volunteering, please visit wheelchairgames.org to register, because we need lots of assistance to make this great event happen in Minneapolis.
Well, it's going to be a great event, and we'll keep talking about it on this show. I know that next time I talk to the director, he'll bring it up again, and we'll keep doing that. I just want to say thanks so much for coming in. Great conversation, very interesting, and we appreciate both of you coming in and talking to us and representing the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
Well, thanks so much for having us.
You bet. Absolutely. That was Dr. Molly Matsumoto and Sean McLaughlin from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we'll check in with a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner. This is a weekly update from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Brad Lindsay.
I'd like to take a moment and recognize a particular group of personnel here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the nursing staff at our 8 state veterans homes. National Nurses Week is celebrated each year beginning on May 6th and ending on May 12th, the birthday of Florence Nightingale. Florence is known as the founder of modern nursing. Much of her highly respected legacy is tied both to her leadership of 38 nurses in treating British soldiers at a military hospital during the Crimean War and her development of improved sanitation practices that revolutionized care delivery. This year's National Nurses Week theme is Courage to Soar, and that's what our Veterans Home nurses truly do every day. They create and maintain the safest possible healthcare environments focused on delivering a clinically excellent experience for all home's residents. For that, we cannot say thank you enough to our nurses. Your dedication and hard work are noticed and appreciated every day as you serve those who have served us.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. In May of 2024, Fairview Health was officially proclaimed as a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization. And in the studio representing Fairview Health is Carl Cook and Lori Simpson. Carl is the Information Technology Director of Acute Inpatient Applications and lead of the Veterans Allies and Advocates. And Lori is the Vice President of Retail Operations. Carl, Lori, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Carl, I just want to start with you real quick because I have a note here that you are a prior service member, a veteran. Real quick, where'd you serve and how many years did you serve for us?
Yeah, thank you. I started out in ROTC, Army ROTC, which is a great program for young people, and was commissioned and as a nurse, an Army nurse in the Army, and I served at Madigan Army Medical Center in Fort Lewis, Washington for 4 years, and then after that did 4 years in the reserve. So it was a great time in my life.
Well, thank you for your service. We do appreciate that.
Right back at you. Thank you.
All right. So then I guess that's kind of a natural tie to really why you're here and the involvement that you have over at Fairview Health with the Veterans Allies and Advocates. So let's talk a little bit about Fairview. And I don't know which of you or if either of you were the point person or the driving person behind making this thing happen. But Carl, I'll just ask you, why was it important for Fairview to go through this process?
Well, it's important for Fairview because we want to do this because supporting service members, veterans, and their families aligns with Fairview's mission of human-centered care and collective strength. When we started our employee resource group back in 2019, we quickly realized that the goals and values of our employee resource group aligned well with the goals and values of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. And so the spark that lit the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon flame really started at the grassroots within our employee resource group. But while it started in the grassroots, it really took commitment from the top down to make it happen. The Beyond the Yellow Ribbon has fairly rigorous set of requirements, and an organization cannot receive the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon designation without commitment from all levels of the organization. So on Veterans Day 2021, Fairview signed the ESGR, which is the Employee Support of Guard and Reserve, which is an essential step in becoming a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization. Then we had to work with our HR and HR policy department to make sure that our policies aligned with our ESGR commitment. We also did a lot of employee and community outreach events and initiatives, some of which Lori can talk about. But the bottom line was that Fairview was committed to demonstrating its unwavering support to military service members, veterans, and their families. And this all culminated almost a year ago today in May of 2024, when we proudly were awarded the certificate of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. We had a tremendous ceremony at Fairview's Health and Wellness Hub in downtown St. Paul. Governor Walz was there, and he spoke, as did our president and CEO, James Hereford. It was a really exciting event, one of the highlights of my 20 years at Fairview. And one of the cool things we did for that event is we made up these challenge coins. As you might be aware, challenge coins have a long history in the military. So we had challenge coins made up to commemorate that day. In fact, I brought one here for you today, Doug. And you can see it's got our VAA logo on one side. It's got the Fairview logo on the other. And it says, proud to be a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sliding around in my chair. Grabbing that here. Thank you very much. I love it.
You've been coined.
Yeah, I have hereby been coined. That's a great looking deal. Lori, what was your involvement in this process?
Pharmacy really became involved, and that's primarily my responsibility in Fairview, but really became involved in 2023 when the past leader of our resource group, who actually also works in the pharmacy area, approached us with putting the 988 like suicide awareness number somewhere in our pharmacy information, right? So we have a lot of access to a lot of patients, and there was like this brainstorming that was happening around how can we put some of this communication out there, understanding that like the military families and military community has a higher level of suicide ideation and then the rest of the community. Is there something else that we can do? And so that idea was brought to us. We went through a lot of different ideas of like where could we potentially put that, and in the end decided that this was something we really did want to do. We could get really excited about this and end up putting that information on our pharmacy bags. And so from that perspective, I got involved with championing that and rolling that out through our pharmacy community.
Yeah, I mean, if we can just save one more life, right?
It's all worth it, right? And mental health is a huge issue everywhere, for sure. But knowing there's a higher incidence in this community, anywhere we can put this information, I think, is a worthy cause. And for us putting it on the bags, like we fill 1.7 million prescriptions last year. We have over 300,000 unique patients, right? So we're putting that number out there in what we feel is a fairly large way on a fairly regular basis, and putting it on the bag, which is something that goes home and, yes, eventually gets thrown away, but might sit around a little bit longer than the stuff that goes inside the bag, and you don't know who's going to see it. You don't know if your patient is necessarily a military member or if they've got somebody coming in from a family, you know, like from a community in large, or, right, if they're helping someone else, right? So I think the more often we're putting it out there, the better off we are. And if we can help one person, I'm super happy to do it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Carl.
Yeah, I just wanted to say is not only am I an employee of Fairview, but I'm also a patient and consumer of Fairview. My family uses Fairview Pharmacy, and every time I pick up a prescription and I see that printed on the prescription bag, it makes me smile because I know how and why that's there. And it makes me proud as a veteran, as a Fairview employee, and as a Fairview patient that I'm in an organization that cares and has passion for the veteran and military community.
So let's stay on the topic, right? That's one thing that you talk about. What are some of the ways in which Fairview Health, you know, supports our military community, right? Obviously, 988 is something, right? To do that, to have that advertisement, that constant reminder. But are there some other things that that Fairview is doing to help support our military community as well?
Yeah, well, it really takes place in that employee resource group I was telling you about. Yeah. We started that back in 2019. Originally, it was called Veterans Employee Resource Group. But we quickly realized that we needed to be more inclusive because it's not just veterans who are passionate and advocates for veterans. It's also family members and loved ones. So we changed the name of the group to Veterans, Allies, and Advocates to better represent that inclusive nature of the families and loved ones. And so we find that opening up opportunities to people to get involved in internally and externally in veterans initiatives, people get really enthusiastic about that. One of the things we did internally is we set up some virtual and physical Veterans Day boards where people can post pictures and stories about the veterans or service members in their life, and people really rallied around that. That was a really good experience for everyone. We have worked with some organizations outside of Fairview and did some volunteer activities. So, for example, the MACV Winter Salute at Target Field. We sent people there and volunteered with that and got really good feedback on that. And then this summer, they're doing another one at CHS Field called the Summer Salute. So we're going to be involved in that one as well. We've done the Operation Turkey Drop around Thanksgiving. We also go out to the Minnesota Air National Guard Family Day and set up a booth out there. It's a great day for families and kids to come out to the airfield, and we hand out books that are provided to us by the Fairview Foundation. I love that event. I love to go to that every year. But I have to say that being a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization has really just opened up more opportunities, mm-hmm. things that we were not aware of. They bring to us. For example, just last week, the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon sent out an urgent alert that there was a Build-A-Bear thing going on out at the Mall of America for military kids, and they had like an urgent need. They ran out of funding, so they needed more funding, and they needed it in a short amount of time. And so we were able to jump in and help with that funding, Fairview did, and everybody in the organization really rallied around that within our employee resource group.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. We got to take a quick break here, and we'll come back. We'll wrap up the conversation here a little bit more about Fairview. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In our last segment, we're talking with Carl Cook and Lori Simpson. They're here and part of this segment as well. Continue to talk about Fairview and the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization. They were proclaimed back in May. And real quick, I had to laugh, but we were running short on time and I couldn't bring the joke up. When you said about Operation Turkey Drop, all I could think about was WKRP in Cincinnati. And I was hoping you weren't flying over in helicopters actually dropping
turkeys.
Yeah, hoping that they could fly. But okay, I want to make sure, because we only have a little bit of time. Carl, talk about your military service and how it really ties in with what you're doing at Fairview.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, I could talk about things like mission focus and teamwork, but I really want to talk about service because it's not an accident they call it serving in the military. When I was a critical care nurse at Madigan Army Medical Center, I had the privilege of serving active duty members and their family during their most vulnerable moments. And that was foundational to me and to my career. And going back to why Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is important to Fairview, it's because Fairview is here to serve our patients and our communities. And I think that's where the intersection of military and healthcare is that service piece. Serving our communities and our patients is embedded in Fairview's culture, just like service is embedded in the military culture.
Yeah, that's great. And Lori, I want to give you an opportunity to provide some final thoughts that you might have about the accomplishment that Fairview has achieved.
Yeah, like Carl was saying, I think for Fairview, service is a huge part of who we are in lots of different areas. But any way that we can further enhance our ability to connect with our community, and like in Fairview and in Fairview Pharmacy, we really want to treat a total patient. And if you're a military member, if you have military in your family, that's such a huge part of your identity that really being able to like have another way to connect with them and bring them in and make them feel comfortable and embrace that communication perspective and really be able to help us treat that total patient more is something I think we're super, super proud of. And so, like Carl was saying, like we're really happy to be of service to the military community, and like and it fits within our mission really well.
That's awesome. Thanks. And Carl, I'll wrap up with you. You know, it was a lot of work. It was a long journey from, you know, the first time you met with somebody inside the yellow, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization to figure out what you had to do, and you go through the checklist. Was the path, the journey worth it? And what would you say to other organizations out there that might be thinking about this?
It was definitely worth it. I'm very proud to work at Fairview and be a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization. The path was not easy, but it was definitely worth it. My advice to other organizations is take the first step, right? Like just start, and then start networking within your organization. You'll be surprised. You'll find people who have common passion. I was surprised by how many organizations are in Minnesota that are veteran initiative organizations. They just like, it opened my eyes from the north part of the state to the southern part of the state. There's so many great organizations in Minnesota that your company or you as a person can get involved with. There's everything from organizations that focus on mental health and addiction to service animals. We've got stuff across the state from lake to shining lake. So
yeah. Well, that's awesome. And, you know, great advice too. Take the first step. You never know. We often find out with many of our organizations that when they first start going through that checklist, it looks daunting, but then you realize we're actually doing a lot of these things. So the road might not be as difficult as what you might think. So Carl, thank you for your service again. Thanks for joining us. And of course, Lori, thank you so much for coming in and spending some time with us here at Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us, Doug.
On the phone is the Command Senior Enlisted Leader of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson. Chief, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thank you. I'm happy to be back today.
Yes, good to hear your voice, and I hope all is well with you. I know that the Minnesota Army National Guard has been having a lot of interesting and fun stuff going on, and in the big topic of today is the Best Warrior Competition. So why don't you just give us kind of a quick overview of what it is and where we are at in the competition process?
Okay. Well, so, you know, we just held the competition here in the state. Our Best Warrior Competition is something we've been doing for a really long time. It's a chance where we can have, they compete throughout the year to come to Camp Ripley to compete for the annual Best Warrior Competition. So this year we were lucky. We had two contestants from Croatia come join us, our state partner, two participants from Canada, and then we had one participant from the fighter wing up in Duluth. So all of those people came together. I think we had like 28 competitors, and they went through four lanes of rigorous Army skills. They included land nav, night land nav. They had an evasion course, along with some marksmanship. So really, really, really focusing on the things that soldiers love to do, and that's simply to put that ruck pack on and head out. And they did, I think, a 13.1-mile ruck. They did the night land nav. They love that. And weapons qualification, who doesn't like to get out there and shoot the weapons? And, you know, that's always a highlight for them for the year.
Now, so, yeah, Chief, I'm going to, I'm sorry, I got to interrupt you. I just got to point it out real quick, not to pick on you here, but in the Army, we call it a rucksack, not a
rucksack.
Yeah.
Rucksack.
Yeah, there
Listen,
you go.
I knew I said it wrong, and I'm like, somebody's going to correct me on that.
Well, there you go. I just got it out in the open for everybody. I didn't really mean to draw attention to it, but I thought it was important.
That's good.
So what else was going on up there then?
Well, after that, then they're at the regional competition over at Fort McCoy in Wisconsin. So we have Specialist Dan Whited from 1st Battalion. He's representing the Soldier of the Year. And our runner-up, Sergeant Devin Shaw from the 84th Troop Command, is representing the NCOs. In Wisconsin. So the one who won, Staff Sergeant Matt Mason Gumbiner, was not able to attend. So we sent the alternate there. And they're competing as we speak. They just finished up their ACFT, and now I think they're doing some navigation. So they're competing now for the regional title.
So they start off, you said the ACFT, so that's the Army Combat Fitness Test. But for our audience's awareness, the competition starts at the lowest level, which generally is at that company level. And they go up through their battalion, brigade, division. compete at the state level. The state is a part of Region 4. And right. So then those soldiers compete at Region 4. And then the winner of there, hopefully one of our Minnesota National Guardsmen or soldiers, I should say, would possibly then go on to compete at the National Guard Bureau level and potentially the All-Army level after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a big deal.
In the past, we've been pretty successful. We've had some of our soldiers get that high into the competition. So, you know, it's just something that the soldiers love to do. They don't always get a chance to get out in the field and do those soldier skills, and it just gets after that warrior ethos. And we had a great support staff. Mass Sergeant Nathan Carlsrud was in charge of the whole staff, and he did just a phenomenal job.
I know Nate very well. Yeah, he always does a great job. Great soldier.
Yeah, solid NCO right there.
Yeah.
So, but then for funsies, real quick.
Yeah, 10 seconds.
We got our official invite to the Croatian Summer NCO Camp. So maybe in a couple episodes, I'll be able to talk to you about me and some soldiers heading over there to Croatia to do the summer camp.
Look forward to hearing all about it, Chief. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
You bet. And thank you all for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts. Join us next week when we have a special recording from the Minnesota Wild headquarters where we discuss the Minnesota Wild's Team Dog program. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.